A couple weeks ago, we said that we all have a decision to make. We either choose to follow the ways of the world, or we decide to follow Jesus. But we cannot do both. Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. So we all have to make this decision while living on earth. But that decision decides our eternal future. We all serve someone or something. Who or what we serve decides not only our eternal destiny, but it also shapes how we live now. If we choose to follow Jesus, as we've been going through 1 John, we walk in the light. If not, we walk in the dark. You can't do both. If we walk with Jesus, we are children of God. And as children, we reflect his family resemblance. When we pray and ask Jesus into our lives and we confess our sin and we turn from our life of sin and we turn and begin to follow Jesus, it begins an incredible journey. That moment of changing direction is just the beginning. It's kind of like the fishermen. Peter and Andrew and James and John, they dropped their nets and began to follow Jesus. But that was just the beginning. That was the beginning of transformed lives. And we see throughout the Gospels how their lives continue to change. And then when they received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, everything busted loose at that point. But it began at a moment, but it had to continue as they continued to follow Jesus. Because the way we finish is just that, or even more important than the way we start. Judas started out as one of the 12 closest to Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He saw the miracles. He heard the teaching. And there's various theories on why Judas betrayed Jesus at the end. But he seemed to have started out strong. But he ended up being known throughout history as the disciple who betrayed Jesus, leading to his death. Now, if we lived in a perfect world, we wouldn't have to worry about salvation. We wouldn't have to worry about sin. Jesus would not have had to come and save us from sin and death. But we live in a fallen world. And we have all sinned. And sin is actually our default setting. It's the way we tend to go on our own. We reject God. We want to do things our own way. But to turn from our sin and to follow Jesus is to turn from eternal death to eternal life. But we have to make a decision to follow Jesus. And when we follow him, we are accepting the gift he gave us by dying on the cross for us. To reject that gift leads to eternity in hell. Jesus paid the price that we could not pay, even if we wanted to pay it. Speaking of Jesus, Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. And this is from the Message, which is Eugene Peterson's paraphrase. But he does a good job of capturing the essence of what Jesus did for us here. He says, he had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. Became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death, and the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Jesus, who is God, did not cling to his God status. That doesn't mean he gave up being God, but that he humbled himself and became human. The Creator became creation. He became like us, every bit as human as you and I are human, except he had no sin. He faced the exact same temptations we face, but remained sinless. And if he was not completely human, any part of humanity he did not take on would not have been cleansed, would not have been redeemed. If he was not human, he could not pay the price that humanity owed. Some in John's day, and in our day, in all those years in between, struggle with accepting that Jesus is, in fact, God, 100% God, and human, 100% human. People believe there's no way God could humble himself and become one with us. They don't believe the human body could contain the glory of God. The good news is too good to be true. So those that had walked away from John's church said Jesus only appeared to be human, but he wasn't really human. And they began to have all these different teachings saying, well, if Jesus was human at all, he left his humanity before he was crucified. Because they cannot comprehend that God could become human. And if he did become human, he would allow humanity to kill him. There's no way God could die like that. But Scripture reveals a different story. Scripture reveals that we live in this fallen, sin-filled world. And Jesus became fully human so he could redeem us, so he could pay the price, so he could restore his creation, so he could recreate us into the people he created us to be, just like him. He died to defeat death. He conquered sin in order to give us the power to live for him, not just in eternity, but now. And that's the gift he offers us. But we have to choose to receive the gift, choose to walk with him. In a semi-perfect world, when we receive the gift and we receive Christ as our Savior, we turn from our sin, the struggle would be over. We would sing, we would hear the angels sing, hallelujah. And then we would just walk on, no struggle, no temptation. Everything is good. But see, we live in a fallen world. And that world continues to pull on us. The temptations continue to tug on our hearts. So we not only have to start strong, we need to persevere. We can finish strong. And Paul speaks a lot about persevering. We don't only start in a relationship with Jesus, we maintain that relationship. Because like any relationship, if we ignore it, it will begin to fade. And the next thing you know, we've drifted further and further and further away from Jesus. So John's writing this letter to a church in which a group of people have left the church. They're following this false gospel. But John knows the truth. John knew Jesus when he was walking this earth. He walked with him. He heard him snore. He was in the dust of Jesus as he walked with him. He heard his teachings. He saw the miracles. He was asleep as Jesus was praying just before he was arrested. He saw Jesus hanging on the cross. He saw as his body was placed in the tomb. He saw Jesus after the resurrection. And now he's trying to tell these believers, stick with it. These people are trying to draw you astray. Don't go where they're leading you. Continue to follow Jesus because he is truth. And I know the truth. John is a reliable source, and he's warning the church against the false teachers that are there and that will come. Followers of Jesus, including us today, need to focus on the truth of the gospel instead of the messages that people will mix in with the message of the gospel, mix in with scripture and a little bit of the world, and you put it all together. No, he's saying stay with the truth or you will be led astray. 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 18. I know last week we jumped over to 3 because the kids were in here and I wanted them here when we talked about being children of God. But today we're 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 18. And as John's writing, he's close with his church. He's an old man at this point. And he's saying, dear children, that's an intimate address to them. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who's the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. And whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, eternal life. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right is born of him. Now in those passages of scriptures, you can break it out different ways, but there's three sections in there I see. The first part, John is warning about those who have left the fellowship to follow false teachings. Just as many people, even people outside of the church, have heard of the Antichrist that is coming. John's congregation had heard about this one, this epitome of evil, who would come in the final showdown with God. But John says, Oh, there will be an Antichrist, but there are many Antichrist, many who are against Christ, many teaching a false gospel. Those who claim to be Christ or speak, who claim to speak for Christ, who claim of a better way or an easier way to get to heaven. They're drawing people away from Jesus, away from the church. And John's saying they are Antichrist. They are against Christ. Jesus said in Mark 13:5, watch out that no one deceives you. Because there are people who will try to deceive you and lead you astray, lead you away from Jesus. And that comes from the liar who is the devil. Those who left John's congregations were those who believed that God could not actually come in the flesh, nor would he die for us. And John says, God, church, congregation, remember the truth of the gospel as you heard it from the beginning. As inconceivable as it seems, God did come in the flesh, fully human, fully God, and he died the death that we deserve so we could live the life he created us to live. He says, hang on to that truth. In the second part, John reminds them of the anointing that they have. In the Old Testament, kings and priests and prophets were anointed with oil to signify their divine election to serve as leaders, as mediators, as proclaimers of the Word of God. But John is speaking of an anointing of all believers, the anointing that comes from the Holy Spirit. We have been marked by and filled with the Holy Spirit when we accept Christ as our Savior. We who follow Jesus are anointed with the Holy Spirit. We have the power of God working in us and through us, and we are marked as children of God. And John warns us, we need to be careful. Because there's false teachers who claim they're being led by the Holy Spirit who are not. But the Holy Spirit leads us in truth. And the truth is revealed through the Word of God. Jesus said in John 14:26, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So if someone claims that they are led by the Holy Spirit, but what they're saying does not align with Scripture or with the teachings of Jesus, they are against Christ. They are anti-Christ. Teach there is any other means for eternal life with God than through Jesus Christ. They are anti-Christ. They are liars. Jesus is the only access to the Father. He is our only access to eternal life. He is our only access to heaven. There's many false teachers, and we need to know the truth so we can battle against the lies or the false teachings. In Matthew 7:13-14, Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And Jesus is that narrow gate. When he told his disciples that he was about to go away, and he says, I'm going to go, and I'm going to prepare a place for you, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to take you where I am. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, this isn't necessarily that popular. We want to be more inclusive, and this kind of gets a little exclusive. We want to think anyone who's kind of nice and they're a pretty good person, you know, they're going to get into heaven. We don't like to think that somebody's going to go to hell. Why would a loving God send anyone to hell? But Scripture tells us, Jesus said, the only way is a narrow path. All are invited. All are invited to come. But only a few will follow. John wrote in verse 23 of chapter 2 of this letter, "No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also." I don't know how many times I've been asked, "Well, you're not one of those people to think Jesus is the only way, are you? Are you accepting of those who believe differently?" And I say, yeah, on both accounts. Jesus is the only way. If I say there is any other way, I can just throw out everything I believe. That's the foundation of the Christian faith, that Jesus is fully human, fully God, and he came to deliver us from sin and death because there is no other way. Would a loving God send his Son to pay the price for us if there was any other way? See, we want to make it so we get to vote on who goes to heaven and how you get there. But Jesus says, no, it's narrow. And only a few are going to come. All are invited. I want everybody to come. But only a few will follow. But also, the other part of that, are you accepting of those who believe differently? Yeah. I'm growing in this. I get angry. I get confrontational. You know, somebody of a different belief or somebody says, now my heart breaks. I pity them. Accepting them and accepting their beliefs are two different things. I want to build a relationship with them because I want to reveal Christ to them. I want them to see Jesus. That's the only way they're going to come to know him. If I get in there, fire blazing, they're just going to run away. But we have the opportunity to build relationships with these people and talk to them and show them Jesus. And man, you want to talk about attractive. Jesus is attractive. And when we reflect him to people, they're attracted to him. But we got to be willing to build those relationships with people, even ones we might not necessarily agree with. We have an enemy. The devil's trying to lead us away. We got to be careful. And often when the devil tries to lead his way, he does it just a little bit at a time. Just get us distracted. A little bit of doubt. Just a little bit of compromise. A little step here, a little step there, and before we know it, we find out we're a long way from where we know God wants us to be. But John reminds us, you have been anointed by the Holy Spirit. He is with us. He will guide us. He will give us wisdom. He will give us the strength to persevere. He will give us everything we need to continue to walk with Jesus, to know the truth. He's always there, desiring us, as we sang. He just wants us to seek after him, and he will meet us wherever we are. In the third part of this passage, John emphasizes the need to remain in Christ, to continue in this relationship with Jesus that we had from the beginning. See, John's seen the people that have drifted away, and he wants to make sure his flock stays strong and finishes strong. Throughout John's letter, we see that's one of his goals. He wants the church to finish strong, stay in the light, continue to follow Jesus. Live out life loving God and loving people, because it's not just how we start, but how we finish that matters. There's a pro golfer, and I'm not a big golf fan, but when I read this guy's story, his name's Kyle Stanley. In 2012, he said, man, at the beginning of the year, January, he said, this is my year. He had never won a PGA championship before or a PGA tournament, but it looked like it was about to change. He was at Torrey Pines in San Diego in January, and he had a 6-shot lead going into the final round of the Farmers Insurance Open. In one stage during that final round, his lead was 7 strokes. He came to the 18th hole. He was up by 3 strokes on a par 5 18th hole. Looked like he had it made. Throughout the rounds, he had always conquered that 18th hole. He had done great. He was good to go. Brant Snedeker was the closest challenger. And it would take a total meltdown for him to beat Stanley. Well, Stanley's second shot spun off the green into the water. And then he had to take a penalty shot to drop a ball, and then he hit it and it went over the green. And he ended up shooting an 8 on a 5 par and ended up in a sudden death. He did the first hole when they tied, went to the second hole, and he lost. See, it doesn't matter how you start. It's how you finish that really matters. Asa was a king of Judah, the southern kingdom after the kingdoms had split. He started out doing good in the eyes of the Lord. He even kicked his mom out as queen mother because she made idols for the worship of Asherah. When enemies closed in on Judah with an army of 1 million men, he cried out to God, and God heard and strengthened Judah and gave them the victory. Later, God sent a prophet with a message to Asa. He said, listen to me, Asa and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Years later, Asa did forsake God. Instead of trusting God again to help them, another set of enemies came in, and he took all the silver and all the gold out of the temple, and he sent it to the king of Aram in order to protect him from the enemies that were approaching. And God condemned Asa for trusting silver and gold and power and another nation instead of trusting God again. He said, why are you finishing like this when you started like that? Asa died refusing to seek God for help for his health or for the nation. See, it's not how you start. It's how we finish that really matters. The prophet Ezekiel wrote in Ezekiel 18, 24 to 26, if a righteous person turns from their righteousness and commits sin and does the same detestable things the wicked person does, will they live? None of the righteous things that person has done will be remembered. Because of the unfaithfulness they are guilty of and because of the sins they have committed, they will die. Yet you say the way of the Lord's not just. Hear, you Israelites. Is my way unjust? Is it not your ways that are unjust? If a righteous person turns from their righteousness and commits sin, they will die for it. Because of the sin they have committed, they will die. See, the way we start's important, but it's how we finish that really matters. John's writing in order to keep the Christians in his church from going astray. He's writing so they will not only decide to follow Jesus, but will decide to follow him, not the pulls that the world is drawing on them all the time. Each time, every single time temptation comes up, John wants us to choose Jesus. That's what he's trying to tell us in this letter. We might not be tempted to deny Jesus outright. We can say we believe. We can go to church every week. We can read our Bible. But what do our actions say? Are we walking in the light or in the dark? Are we walking as Jesus walked, or are we doing our own thing? See, the good news is God does not leave us in this battle alone. First, we have each other. We can support one another. We can encourage one another. We can hold each other accountable. We can come alongside each other when we are weak. But even more important, we have the Holy Spirit. God gives us His Spirit and the power that goes with that. We can remain in Christ because we have His Spirit in us to teach us and to guide us. That doesn't mean when John's writing here that we don't need human teachers, because John's teaching us through this letter. But we have the Holy Spirit to guide us, and the Holy Spirit helps us check to make sure the teaching we're receiving is true and we're not being deceived or drawn off. God wants us in this relationship with Him. Complacency is one of the greatest enemies of our walk with Jesus. Often people don't just walk away from Jesus, they just drift away, and then they wonder how they got where they are. How did I get into this jam? Because I didn't listen when the Holy Spirit was trying to guide me where I needed to go. We get spiritually lazy. And laziness leads us down paths we never wanted to follow. John wrote, there's people trying to lead you astray. There's people trying to get you to forget about your relationship with Jesus. But John says, remember your anointing. Remember who you are and whose you are. This anointing, he's saying, is real. It's not emotionalism. It's God in you. God with you. John, and now, dear children, continue in Him so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 15, beginning in verse 4, remain in me. I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Can you bear fruit unless you remain in me? I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Hear this. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. The way we finish matters. Are we producing fruit? Are we remaining in Jesus? Are we staying connected to Jesus and His people? A couple weeks ago, we said we have to make that decision, whether we follow Jesus or follow the world. But it's not a one-time deal. Each day we have to get up and decide that we're going to follow Jesus or we're going to follow the world. Each temptation comes, we have to decide, am I going to follow Jesus or am I going to do whatever I want to do? And Jesus says, remain in me. If we remain in Him, we can know without a doubt that He will remain in us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. But He never removes our ability to choose whether we're going to follow Him or the temptations of the world. But He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. But if we stay in Him, we remain in Him, we will produce fruit for the kingdom of God. We have this anointing from God. He has given us His Spirit to help us on this journey. We can't have a relationship with Jesus unless at some point we begin that journey. That's when we turn away from sin and follow him. But we are to continue in that journey with him. How we finish matters. Kyle Stanley, that golfer that choked, doing great, started out great and failed. The next week, he was 8 shots down in the final round at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. He shot a final round bogey-free 65 for a one-stroke victory. See, that time, it looked like he had failed, but he finished. And he ended up winning his first PGA tournament. Manasseh was another king. He was one of the most evil kings over Judah. In 2 Chronicles 33, beginning in verse 9, it says, Manasseh led Judah and the people of Jerusalem astray. So they did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. So the Lord brought against them the army of the commanders of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh prisoner, put a hook in his nose, and bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. In his distress, he sought the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his ancestors. And when he prayed to him, the Lord was moved by his entreaty and listened to his plea. So he brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord is God. You get that? Manasseh was this wicked king, and God punished him, but he turned to God, and God lifted him up. He finished strong. Asa was just the opposite. He started strong and finished down at the bottom. How we finish matters. No matter what we have done, no matter how good or bad, it's time for us to finish strong. Finish for Jesus. Finish following him, following as the Holy Spirit leads us. If you've been walking with Jesus all your life, just remember, remain in him and finish strong. God said through the prophet Ezekiel, if a wicked person turns away from all the sins they've committed and keeps all my decrees and does what is just and right, that person will surely live. None of the offenses they have committed will be remembered against them. Because of the righteous things they have done, they will live. Do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the sovereign Lord? Rather, am I not pleased when they turn from their ways and live? God wants us to turn from our wickedness, turn from our sin, and turn, no matter where we have been, no matter what we have done, we can finish strong. We can finish in the presence of God, and he will give us his spirit and empower us to continue to follow him. John said, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us. Eternal life. Finish. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you that no matter where we have been, no matter how far down we may be, as I think about Manasseh, leading your people astray, you warned him and he ignored it, but then he faced consequences and he was in the pit. In Babylon, imprisoned, and you brought him out and restored him. Lord, no matter where we have been, we know that you call us to yourself. You speak to us. Let us hear from you, Lord. Let us not ignore you. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that has heard you calling, but hasn't decided to turn from all the things they think they want to do and follow you, Lord. I pray that you would speak to them. Let them know it's just going to get worse if they keep running from you. But you've got something great for them if they turn to you. Those of us that have been walking with you for years, Lord, help us to finish strong. Help us not get lazy, not just go through the motions, but Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Help us hear from you and help us to be fruitful for your kingdom, Lord. Not just to drift through life until we get to the end, but that we would be on fire for you and people would be drawn to you because of the lives we live. Lord, help us to finish strong and fruitful for your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.